Oh, glad to be with you again this morning. Trust you had a good night's rest and a wonderful Sunday. Today we're going to start off with our lockdown Bible study sessions. Let's see how the Lord develops this. We can maybe set a manual together afterwards and remember this time of lockdown through the things that we are studying. Well, I want to encourage you to fight the tendency to get cabin fever. Get yourself into a rhythm. And one of the things that I try to help you with is to get you all to join me in the mornings, 9 o'clock, for a Bible study session. So let's see where the Lord takes us in these sessions. I felt led by the Holy Spirit to start to speak about our identity in Christ. Because that is so important. That gives us confidence knowing who we are. And I'm going to start off with the teaching this morning on new birth realities. Our new birth realities. It's going to be a Bible study, so you have to have your Bible with you. And you will have to have some notes, a notebook where you can make some notes. We're going to read a lot of scripture. We're going to allow the scripture to speak to us. And so I encourage you to keep your Bible. We have been trained to hear the voice of God speak to us through an open Bible. So this morning, this is what we're going to do. So you're welcome to get your Bibles quickly and get ready, set yourselves up as we're going to start with this service. I've got my family with me, so I'm quite happy to have all of them with me. We just, before we started, discussed quickly our rhythm and the things we're going to do today. And it's good to plan. It's good to know what you're going to be busy with. That'll keep your mind focused in a time like this as well. Well, as everybody's getting ready, let's start to pray. Before we pray, you will hear Ilana or maybe one of the kids just read some scriptures for us as we go on. They're off camera, but they're with us. And you'll hear them speak. If you hear the dog barking or the cat, just know that we are at home and the whole family is joining us in this process today. So let's pray together. Father, what a wonderful privilege we have today to just be together again and to focus on your word. Father, we pray as we come together again for our nation. And we pray, Father, for our government. We pray for our president. We pray for those in authority who at this moment, Father, need to make many difficult decisions and lead us into this time which the whole world is facing. We pray for our leaders. We pray for Cyril Ramaphosa. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guard him against infection, that you would guard him, Father, physically give him the energy, energize him, but also, Holy Spirit, that you would come and just give him the ability to be in the spirit and clear and concise and confident concerning decision making. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to him in a fresh way, that he would hear the voice of God. I pray that he as well, his family in this time, would be drawn closer to you as all of us are drawn closer to you in this time. Father, we pray for our medical staff. We pray for our church members who are on the front line. I'm thinking of Niall and Harla that's working in labs at the moment. We're thinking about Ilana. We're thinking about Charmian and others who are working in hospitals. We thank you, Lord, that you keep your hand over each and every one of them, protecting them, Father, and guarding them against infection as well. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would extend your mighty miracle working hand over our congregation and over the churches in Harvester and over all believers who stand in faith in this season, that you would protect them, guard them as we walk in a sure-footedness, a confidence, and a sound-mindedness in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you, Jesus. We love you and we worship you this morning. We pray, Father, that each and every one of us that are listening and watching via live stream, that in this time you would open scripture to us, reveal secret things to us, and that you would just be with us in a tangible way, that your presence would just bring comfort and that your presence would stir hope and life within each one of us in the name of Jesus, I pray. To you be all glory, God. Be glorified in this moment, these moments where we are together. And let your name and your word bring hope, bring life and confidence as we walk this out with you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. I want to encourage you to share these links with friends and family. I want to encourage you, even our Sunday morning services, that would be shared with many people out there. On Sunday, I send a lot of WhatsApps with a scribing, with some prophetic word that came in, and with Prophet Miami's voice note that spoke about the theme on what do we do with prophecy in the time of a pandemic. And I hope you guys have listened to that. That was good, sound doctrine, wisdom. It was the Holy Spirit that spoke through her. And we're going to try to get some video feed from her as well, asking Tabitha to help her with that. And then we'll share that on the Facebook platforms and on YouTube as well. So without further ado, let's start off with the first section today. If you have your Bibles, you can go to the book of John. We're going to start with John 8:12. I'm going to ask Ilana to read that for us. Thank you, Ilana.
When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
I am the light of the world, and you will have the light of life. The light of life. We're going to start off to speak about, in the first context, Jesus, scripture that spoke about Jesus being the light of the world. There are many others. I've just got two here. The other one is John 9, verse 4 to 5. Maybe, Ilana, can you read that for us as well? John 9, verses 4 to 5.
"As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
Jesus speaking, that's saying that while there is still time to work, we should work. He should work. He spoke about himself, but I hear that for us as well. While we are still able to preach, while we are still able to share the message, let's do that. Let's work while it's day. And then Jesus making the statement that says, "As long as I am in the world, I am also the light of the world." If we go then to Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16, there's a change that happens there. I want you to see or notice that the transition came, that Jesus made these statements saying that he is the light of the world. As long as we have him, we have the light of life. And that he made the statement that as long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world. But when Jesus went back to his Father, that function, being the light of the world, being the salt of the world, was transferred unto you and me, you and I. We are now the salt of this world, the light in this world. So we can read Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. So I'm giving this as an introduction because we're going to speak a bit about our calling. We're going to speak about our identity in Christ. And we're going to start off today by speaking about our new birth realities. Now, if you read with me Matthew 5, 13 to 16 in the New King James, it says, verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth." Jesus saying that to us. "But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under my feet." Verse 14, "You are the light of the world." You see the transition? Jesus preparing his disciples, preparing us. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but as on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." It gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men," speaking to his disciples, to all of us, "that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So there's a transition I want you to notice. Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world," and now we are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. For the focus, the scripture that I want to focus on in this session today, we're going to find in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. We're going to start in actually verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and then chapter 6, verse 1. That'll be the context of where we're going to speak about when we speak about new birth realities. If we read in the Bible in these scriptures, let's start there from verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Let's just stop. We're going to work through scripture by scripture. There was a time when Jesus was the light of the world that the disciples knew Jesus by the flesh because he was with them. He was amongst them. Now the Bible says here, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. What does that mean? Jesus is no longer with us in flesh, but he's with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us, in that he gave his Holy Spirit that now lives and resides within all of us who believe. So there's a understanding that we've got to gain here. We therefore now no longer regard anybody in the flesh anymore. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We know one another by the Spirit. We know one another by the Spirit. Even though we in this lockdown period can no longer be together in the flesh, we know and we are joined in one unit in the Spirit. We know one another by the Spirit. It is so important to understand that we have to discern spiritual things spiritually. We have to understand that we discern one another not by our presence and joining together, but by the Spirit of God that dwells amongst us. That's a key principle. We can draw from one another when we know one another by the Spirit, and thus no longer know one another by the flesh, according to the Scripture. We are able to hear God when we understand spiritual things. When God speaks, he speaks to us in our spirit man. He does not speak to us in the soulish realm or in the flesh, in the natural, but he speaks to the Spirit. And revelation takes what is given in the Spirit and roots it in our understanding. That's why when we read the Word of God, we get Rhema word, we get revelation. It is something that is deposited in our spirit, and now through revelation, it is transferred into our understanding. God speaks to our spirit man. God is spirit, and we are spirit, and God connects with us in the spiritual realm. So when we look at things only through the eyes of flesh, we are not able to discern things accurately. Many people, when they prophesy, they look at things in the natural. Many people at this time in the world, they look at what's happening all around us and they're trying to discern things through the natural eye, but we cannot, because God is spirit and he speaks to us from a spiritual dimension, a spiritual place. I enjoyed Apostle Nicholas that visited with us a few weeks back from France, when he just said the following, is our God is a revelational, but also a relational God. A revelational, but also a relational God. When we get the transfer of information from our spirit man to our understanding, it is through revelation and through relationship. So that is so important. I want you to understand that as we start to speak about the next few scriptures, something incredible happened the day that you got saved. And we're going to focus on that identity, because I think so many people have forgotten that wonderful thing that has happened the day that we got saved. So let's speak about these things as we continue in the scripture. By the way, the Lord used this scripture in one of our sessions while we were on mission trip in Mauritius as well. But yeah, I'm going to focus on some different things in the scripture. That's the beauty of the Word of God, is that it's different every time you read it. It gives new revelation and perspective. Just one other thing. When we got saved, we received the Word of God. Jesus In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. Jesus was the Word. We received Christ. We received the Word. The Word is already implanted in our spirit. And as we, through relationship, receive revelation, we get understanding. We gain understanding of what we already have. We have the Word. The Word is not the Bible. The Word is in us. It's Christ. And when we read the Bible, the Word that is in us becomes a revelation. This is a wonderful book, and we should value the book. But Christ is the Word. And when we read the Word, Christ brings life to this dead letters. Intellectuals can read this Bible and they can quote on the beauty of how it was written and all the wonderful things concerning the history of the book. And it is an intellectual thing to look at as well. But it can stay mere word. It can be dead if we do not understand that in the Spirit, it's got to be revelationary knowledge changed into understanding that causes life. So I hope you are there with me. Now, if we read verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. This is so important. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Absolutely new. The day that you got born again, you were made absolutely new. A new creation in Christ. It goes on to say that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We know the scripture. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are absolute. The day you get saved, the day you are born again, in your spirit man, you are reborn. It is a fresh new thing, completely new creation. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All the old things, all of the sinful old man passed away. When it speaks about passed away, it is referencing to somebody passing away, which is no longer part of our existence or of our lives anymore. So, like someone passing away, in our lives, who are no longer part of our lives, that old nature, old man, have passed away. It is dead and is buried. He's no longer part of our lives. It has separated from us. And look, we have completely been recreated in our spirit man. Praise God. That is wonderful. But listen to the next one, verse 18. Now all things are of God. So, before you got saved, the old nature, old man, the old sinful man now has passed away, and you have been recreated. You have been created in a new man. This new man is no longer of the old, but the Bible says now, verse 18, all things are of God. This new man is not of this world. Is not of the things of this world, is not of the old nature that is part of this world, but this new man is of God. Can you see that? All things pertaining to you after the moment that you get saved, that you are born again, are from now on, it is of God. It's of godly nature. It is of a godly substance. Praise God. Do you see the change? Do you understand this wonderful reality? That I am an absolutely new man, a new creature, a new creation in Christ. And all things that I have are of God, that pertains to me, that pertains to my identity, is of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, Jesus being the substitute, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So the new things that we were put in, or that's been put in us, or has been created in us, are not of ourselves, but was created by God and put there by God, and it made us new, and it is of God, by God, and from God. I hope you understand that nugget of revelation. Nothing that is in you is old anymore or of the old sinful man anymore. It is of God. And in the same way, God has reconciled us now back to himself through Christ. God himself has, past tense, already given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we get into some purpose here. It says there, he has given us, past tense, the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God has done this through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through the fact that Jesus died on the cross, he became the substitute, so that as he did, he reconciled the sinful man to God, he reconciled you and I to God. Now we have that same mandate. We have that same purpose. We have that same calling on our lives to be reconcilers one to another, men to God. To be that catalyst that brings man to God, that reunites sinful man to God. That is our designed purpose on earth. Now, if you read verse 19, it says, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. We have a world to reconcile to God. That's our purpose. That is our design. We've been designed to do that. The Bible speaks about that we are to be peacemakers. We are to be reconcilers. We should not be of those who bring division. We should not be of those who separate one man from another or separate man from God. We should be the ones, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be known as the children of God. That is the work of a disciple. Each one of us have been purposed and called to be those catalysts that will bring reconciliation between man and God. Now verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. Ambassadors of Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you now on Christ's behalf, be reconciled by God or reconciled to God. So if we look at this scripture, we understand something about our purpose. We are ambassadors. We are sent ones, an apostolic company of people, messengers. We have an official mission. It's that we are legal representatives of Christ on this earth. And in this scripture, it puts it like that, pleading with men to be reconciled with God. We do what Jesus did. That is what Jesus came to do. We are an extension of the ministry and the purpose of Jesus on this earth. Now, this is a beautiful scripture, but just see that it does not end here. If you go to chapter 6, verse 1, we read the following. When we then, as workers together with him, just keep that, we are co-laborers with Jesus Christ. We then, as workers together with him. Wow. We do what Jesus did and we extend, we carry on. We are the light of the world. As he was the light of the world, now we are the light of the world. We are the reconcilers. We are those called with the word of reconciliation or with the ministry of reconciliation. And we are now co-laborers with Jesus Christ. Just as he works in us, he works through us, and he uses us to establish and accomplish the same purpose, and that is to reconcile the lost, men, women, children, to reconcile them back to their Creator God. What a privilege, workers together with him, also pleading with you to receive the grace of God, not to receive the grace of God in vain. Let me read that again. We then, as workers together, we also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Wow, that's a big call that God has put upon our lives. I'm reminded of the scripture in Ephesians that says, work or walk worthy to the call with which you have been called. Walk worthily or worthy to the call which you have been called. We all, if we speak about our identity, if we speak about new creation realities, We need to understand that this is what God has given us to do. This is the grace that God has released over our lives. This is what Jesus came to die for, is so that we might be the ones that cause a unity to exist between God and His people. So I'm speaking to all of those in this stage who are bringing division and causing disunity all over with their own selfish agendas. And one of the things that I spoke about in Mauritius that the Lord really put in my heart is that if you are a catalyst, and Tony, I don't know if they are watching, but Tony in our local church is a chemical engineer. He can explain it much better than I can, but if you put a catalyst in the mix, that chemical totally dissolves and goes away, but creates in the process between the two other chemicals a brand new unity. And that is exactly what we are to do as believers. That is what God has purposed us to be and purposed us to do. That is His work. And we cannot, He pleads with us, receive this word of reconciliation in vain. We are in a time where many of us treat this time as a holiday. Well, I want to ask you to treat this as a deployment of the army of the Lord. We are all in different areas all across the earth. With our families, we can now pray more than we've prayed before. We have the time to do it. Use this time of isolation as a time of equipping. Use it as a time where God will get you into Scripture more, so that you might get the understanding of this word of reconciliation. Allow the Holy Spirit's presence to come over you in such a way that it propels you to become a doer of the word. I see so many people on a tipping point where this time of isolation before the Lord can either get you to fall deeper into Christ and the knowledge of the understanding of Christ, His unsearchable riches, or it can get you in a place where you totally fall back into a space of lukewarmness. Do not allow that to happen. I rebuke the enemy that's trying to take the army of the Lord and draw them into a place of inactivity. This is a time of activity. The world needs hope. We have the answers. We have Christ. We walk with confidence. We know how to fight fear. We know how to bring wisdom into situations. We can flow with the Holy Spirit. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can prophesy. We have words of wisdom and words of knowledge. Now is the time for the church to stand. You can take your phone, you can phone people, you can post things on social media networks, you can pray for people, you can get yourself locked in your room and hear from God for your family, you can get your family together, pray with your family, prophesy over your children, worship with your family. This is a time for the church to step up. We are deployed on the battlefield and we can pray this thing through in the name of Jesus. I want to encourage all of you to hear that you have the word of reconciliation. We are the ones that should unite those without hope, those without Christ, those who are looking to the flesh for understanding. We should give them something of much greater value, and that is the message of the cross, the message of Christ, who is the one who became our substitute so that we might be united with Christ our Lord. Let's go to Ephesians 4 verse 22 to 24. I'm going to ask Ilana to read that for us as well. Ephesians 4 verse 22 to 24.
You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness.
All right, so we have to put off our former old conduct, the old man. Put it off. It is corrupt, it is deceitful, it is full of lust. put it off. Verse 22. Verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The renewal of your mind. We spoke about that not too long ago in our local church when we did the manual renewal of the mind. And that you put on the new man. Put it on. This has been already given to us. It's already been established. It's already done. But we have to put it on the new man, which was created according to God, God's design, which stands in righteousness and in true holiness. All right? The next one is Colossians 3, verse 9 to 10. Colossians 3, verse 9 to 10. Let's turn there in your Bibles as well. I'll give you an opportunity to do that as well. Ilana, you're going to do that for us as well. Colossians 3, verses 9 to 10.
Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator.
Wow, beautiful. Do not lie to one another, since you have already, past tense, put off the old man and its deeds and have put on the new man. We already have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Just read that for me in your Bible again, Ilana. I think you're in the new NIV, right?
Yeah.
Just read that last part again. Put on the new man.
And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator.
Amen. So it is an established fact that it's already done, but it is also continuing as we mature and as we spend time with God and as we connect in the Spirit and as you hear the Word, it is an ongoing thing. So I want you to hear that. We have to put off and put on. We have to clothe ourselves with a new man. And this is beautiful. If you ever get the opportunity to do the manual renewal of the mind, that'll give you a lot of perspective. Our local church has just done that, and that has done a wonderful thing. We keep doing that every now and then in the church because it's such an important subject. If we go to Romans 6:4 now, therefore, and this is the passage if you want to understand what is the meaning of baptism. Why should we be baptized as believers? You go to Romans 6. Now, verse 4 says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. You know, remember, we spoke about it a few minutes ago, that the old man has passed away. It's the sense of somebody dying. So when we look at this scripture again, therefore, we have buried, put into the grave, the old man through baptism. So that baptism, symbolic, the day that you get saved, that is what happens. That's what happens at your new birth, is that you put off the old man, the old man pass away, he is buried and dead. Just like that image, we do it in baptism. We take the person, we put him in the water, and as we put him in the water, it is that union with God in his death, with Christ in his death, and then he raises up out of the water, out of the grave. So the old man is buried in the grave and we raise up as a new man in Christ Jesus. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we are also walking in the newness of life. Isn't that beautiful? Walking in the newness of life. What are you talking about today, Carl? What are you talking about? I'm talking about a life lived in the newness of our creation. Of the recreation that has happened in us, in the new birth that has happened in us. We're walking in the newness of that life, which is not of ourselves, which is not of the old nature, old man, but it's all of God, and it's already been established, and we've been already clothed with it, and we now walk it out with Christ. We now are in the process of that transference from the spirit man through revelation into the understanding of the knowledge of Christ, being dropped into our understanding as we walk it out with him. Hallelujah. So we walk in this newness of life. We no longer walk in the old nature or on the old way of life, of living. We walk in this newness of life. We walk in the character of Christ. We walk in the hope of Christ. We walk in the beauty and the splendor of His presence. We take Christ to the world. His glory shall fill the earth through us who are His children, the church. We now live in this newness of life. Now, 1 John 4:17, a very significant scripture, and in future days we'll look at these ones as well. Now, it says there in verse 17, love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And now just listen at this, because as He is, so are we in this world. Can I read that again? As He is, so are we in this world. Oh, that's important to note, church. The reason we can have boldness on the day of judgment is that as He is, so are we also in this world. Praise God. The way that Jesus was, I am the light of this world. I'm working while I can. While I'm in the world, I'm the light. Then we are the light of the world. So that transition has happened. We have now taken on the newness of life. We have taken on the new man. We walk in new spiritual realities. We live in Christ. We have our being in Christ. We have a new perspective. We live in the place where we have the mind of Christ. This is incredible. We understand the man I am now has got nothing to do with the man whom I used to be. I now stand in the recreated realities of God, that is all of God, that is already implanted and rooted in me. Praise God. And as He is, so I am also in this world. As He is, so we are in this world. When you were born again, you were made complete in Him. You were formed in spirit to be, to look, to act like Jesus. Come on, somebody needs to get excited with me about that. That's an established fact. That is something that's already happened and occurred. Alright, so let's do a conclusion on today's session. I'm going to try to be about 40-45 minutes in these sessions. And then you can take these scriptures and you can go through them on your own as well. John 8 verse 12 says the following. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. But have the light of life. Now that's my identity. That's your identity. Come on, church. That's who we are. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What a positive, what an encouraging word. That is my identity. That is your identity this morning. We can walk in this newness of life, especially now in the midst of this pandemic and this lockdown period. I want to encourage you, you need to walk in the newness of life. Then John 14:12, and we know this, and I want to end off by this as a powerful statement of faith. For most assuredly I say, verse 12, Jesus, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to my Father. You see the transition? Jesus, I am the light of the world. Now you are the light of the world. The works that I do, you will do, and even greater things than that you will do. Isn't that just the heart of the Father? If I look to my two daughters this morning sitting here, my prayer is that they would do what I have done, but even greater things that I have done. I trust that they would be better off in their future than I was in the life that I have given them thus far. That's the heart of a father, is that you will do what I have done, but even yet greater things than these you will do. Jesus warns us in 2 Corinthians, do not discern Christ in the flesh, because He's no longer with us in the flesh. We need to discern Him thus no more. we need to be discerning in the spirit. If we start to see, if we start to live, if we start to operate in this newness of life, oh boy, we will be able to do much more, even greater things than that which Christ has done. That is your job. That is the ministry of reconciliation that God has given to each one of us. He's given us, he has enabled us, he's anointed us, he's purposed us with a word of reconciliation. It's you, it's your job, it's what God has purposed you to do, yet even greater things than he has done. Can you see the beauty of this? Can you understand who you are? So clothe yourself then with this new man and cast off the old nature. And remember that this is something that's already established. We need to renew our minds to this new birth reality. Because if we get that seated in our understanding, let it be revelation today, transferred from the Spirit into our understanding. And if we get that, wow, what a wonderful life we will all live. And that is the life of Christ. Thank you. I hope that this word encourages you today. And I'm looking forward to spend some time tomorrow again with you. We're going to pray together. And then bless you. Enjoy your day. And see you soon. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word speaks to us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we can take these words and apply them to our lives. I right now pray that there would be revelation knowledge, that people would start to stand up in the newness of life that you have given them already, given us already. I pray that we would continuously clothe ourselves with this new man, as we walk it out with you this life. I pray that each and every day we will walk into new realities, new birth realities, new realities of our identity, of who we are and what we've been purposed to be and purposed to do. I pray that we will see a boldness that is released amongst us, a faith that is released amongst us as believers, so that in this time we might be the bearers of the word of reconciliation. Be those catalysts who would join, bring back one to another, bring union between a lost world and its creator God. I pray, Father, today that there would be a revelation on this, and also a release of responsibility or accountability, or then put it in another way, that we would then act as your ambassadors, as your apostolic people, as sent ones, once with an official job, and that we would take up that responsibility and yet do greater things than what you have done on this earth. We are co-laborers with you. We work with you, Lord, and we are so honored to be able to be that for you. Bless your church. I speak grace. I speak peace over your church today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that this would activate us it to be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. We bring all praise and honor to you. And amen.